Good afternoon and welcome to another week of the TERS podcast. I'm Catherine Love and joining us today is Will Stewart, news editor. Hi, Will.
Hello.
And Amy Gibbons. Hi, Amy.
Yeah. Hi.
So one of the first stories we will be speaking about today is the fact that Education Secretary Gavin Williamson has said he hopes that teachers will have 2 weeks notice about when schools can reopen more widely. Obviously, as we know, they're currently open to the children of key workers and vulnerable children, but to no other students. Will, do you think this means that the rate at which schools can reopen has been pushed back?
No, not necessarily. I mean, he's what he said was he hoped that schools would open before Easter, and it wasn't a hope. He promised. He said that teachers would definitely get 2 clear weeks' notice of what would happen. In terms of whether it's been pushed back or not, I think when we first went into the new lockdown, there was definitely an expectation or certainly a hope that schools might reopen more widely by the end of straight after the February half term. So within the strict definition of that, I mean, he said before Easter, that could still be straight after the February half term. But I think from the wording of it and from other signals we've had from the Prime Minister who said, well, that wasn't nailed on, not the exact words, but basically went through a long list of reasons why that might not happen. I think that is looking less and less likely. We also had, I think it was this week, we also had the, either the chief medical officer or the deputy chief medical officer, it was Jenny Harris, suggesting that when schools do reopen more widely, there'll be a regional approach. So sorry, it's a very long answer, but yeah, all the signals seem to be that it's going to be later than expected. But I think teachers have given it a huge welcome, the fact that when it does come, it's not going to be, you know, one day they're going to be closed and the next day they're going to be open. They're going to get, he's promised they'll get some time to plan for it.
I think I read on Twitter, I think Dame Alison Peacock, who's the head of the Chartered College of Teaching, she welcomed the news, but she said, God, I hope it's at least 2 weeks, because they really do need enough notice to get things ready, especially if, you know, the testing's going to be rolled out as well. So I'm sure it was very welcome news. It's what I saw too.
It was amazing, because I was writing on the blog today. He had such a, you know, he went on, did the rounds of the news interviews yesterday, and he had this big announcement on the FE white paper, which is his thing. But most of the interviews were kind of asking, a lot of them seem to be spent about people asking whether he should resign or not. But on schools, it was interesting that you know, where he usually gets such a bad reception from teachers, it was almost kind of universal praise but relief anyway, that there's going to be some move away from the chaos as it was described at the start of this term.
Definitely, so, yeah. Those interviews were a little bit hard to watch in parts, I thought. There's lots of journalists putting it to Gavin Williamson, asking if he should resign or not. And yeah, that was a little bit awkward.
But it must be, I think you're both absolutely right, that it must be an enormous relief just in terms of, you know, knowing that they will have that time to plan and prepare. And that it won't just be a sort of very quick turnaround, because also when they do reopen, it's not going to be like planning for the normal start of the school year. There's going to be so much more work involved. Another really interesting story from you, Amy, is about how COVID infections among primary schools seem to have a much greater impact on teachers when there's a COVID infection in a primary school than a secondary school. And that data has come from FFT Education Data Lab. What has the reaction been from the profession to that news?
So we haven't had a huge amount sort of back from the from heads and teachers unions on that one so far. We've had kind of two really interesting data stories come out today. One of them was the one that you mentioned about an initial COVID infection having a much greater impact on teachers when it happens in primaries as opposed to secondary. So that's teachers needing to isolate or to go home when that outbreak happens. The other bit of data that we've had today is actually from the Education Policy Institute think tank. And that's the one that we've had a little bit more reaction from the sector on. So that one found, actually, it's highly likely, separate bit of analysis, that COVID rates among teachers are higher than the wider adult population, which we know lots of people in the sector have been, you know, suggesting for a while, but as yet the government's sort of been pushing the point that teachers are at no higher risk than any other profession. So this was a really interesting bit of analysis, and actually what it prompted was both of the major heads unions, so that's the Association of School and College Leaders and the NAHT School Leaders Union, calling for teachers to be prioritised for vaccines. I'm just looking back at the comments now, Jeff Barton, who's head of ASCL, he said the research was really worrying, which because it suggests, I mean, it's not definitive. They have said they need more data on it, and that's a really important point. It's not saying this is definitely the case, but it does suggest that teachers are at a greater risk of contracting COVID. And they said there's clearly a moral imperative now to prioritise the education workforce for vaccinations. So, yeah, both of those bits of analysis were interesting because they kind of gave us a little bit of a window into something that we don't have a huge amount of data on at the moment, which is how badly teachers are affected by the virus and where it happens.
It's all pointing in the same direction, isn't it? Because I think we just alluded to it there, but that's the shocking thing, I think, is that nobody really knows. And we've had, we certainly did one of the stories, we had the analysis from whatever figures they could get hold of from the NSUWT that suggested teachers had, well, I think more than 300% more likely to have caught COVID than the general population. And there was something similar from the NEU, which is slightly lower. Mm-hmm. But nobody really knows, do they? There's actually, on such an important issue, I would have thought that there's nothing definitive out there yet, is there? Is that right?
Yeah, it's something that I found, well, I'm sure not only me, many people will have found very frustrating to date, which is that we just don't have the data, new enough data really, to compare how the pandemic is affecting teachers as opposed to people in other professions and the general population. I mean, with the NASUWT data, we know, they're only looking at a couple of areas, but the problem was that there isn't really a national figure. And the stuff the government's citing, if I remember rightly, is looking sort of at the autumn term. And potentially doesn't give us everything that we need to know. So there's long been calls for updated information, especially for this term, and since we've seen that new variant really take a hold of how badly teachers have been affected. So it is an issue, and I'm hoping that we will get some updated data at some point, but it remains to be seen exactly when that will be.
And interesting to see those kind of those three heads unions sort of or those three unions rather, but very kind of united in that call for teachers to be prioritised, because as you say, it does look like the data's leading that way, even if it's not conclusive at the moment. Another COVID-related story this week was on rapid lateral flow tests. And before we've heard quite a lot about sort of doubts about their accuracy compared with the other tests. Will, why do you think the decision was taken to pause their use? Schools?
Well, first of all, we should be clear, it wasn't taken to pause the use of lateral flow tests, as the DfE have been keen to point out. The kind of mass testing is continuing in some ways, but what they have decided to pause is the daily tests of contacts, which was what's been referred to as a test and release policy. So it's the idea that if you at the moment, if you've had contact with a COVID case, then you have to go home and isolate. So all of a sudden you can lose a lot of people. But the idea is that if you took these rapid flow tests, then it could release you from that. So it could be a way of keeping schools in. Now, this has been kind of controversial from the start because, as you alluded to, these people have questioned whether or not these particular tests are accurate enough. So the reason being that they're not necessarily going to pick up all the people who are positive. So if you then keep people in school on the basis that they've got a negative on this test, what you're probably doing, you'll be keeping some people with COVID in schools and then naturally spreading it. So rather than not just helping, that they could be actively dangerous. Sorry, this is going to be very long-winded. There has been other pushback this week saying that actually they're more effective than that. But even that is saying they're not universally effective. So this does belatedly seem to be some admission from the government that might be an issue. So yeah, so at the moment, that particular aspect of mass testing, and probably I'd say it's fair to say that the kind of linchpin of the government's approach to keeping schools open is paused. So quite a big setback.
No, it's I think in terms of sort of some of the concerns about the use of those tests, it's exactly as you said, that if they are being used in that way to sort of imply that it's safe for people to mix in with the general school population when they actually could be symptomatic at that point, then that's obviously very, very risky.
So yeah, with a seamless link then from one difficult aspect of the pandemic, the COVID testing, to another one, which is what it's like actually teaching during this. Catherine, you did I found it a fascinating piece this week about how utterly draining it was. You spoke to a lot of teachers about their experiences. I mean the thing that, well, there's a lot in there, but that summed it up for me was people talking about remote lessons being like teaching through a letterbox, which really did bring it to life for me. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean it was really interesting kind of getting just some sense of what it's been like to deliver online learning, and there are a lot of themes there. I thought one of the things that came across is I think for teachers, they enjoy being in the classroom and they enjoy that kind of buzz from the students and, you know, someone saying something a bit offbeat or sharing a joke or, you know, going and having a chat with a colleague, and all of that has been kind of taken away. And they were sort of talking about the fact that they are often, because they're teaching remotely, they're lecturing to kind of like a set of blank screens. Often the students are muted. And particularly for kind of humanities subjects, but also I heard from science teachers too, that when they're trying to sort of teach essay writing skills or teach a new novel or teach a kind of quite difficult, complex idea, they're not really getting any kind of feedback from the students apart from maybe in the chat function. It's all quite muted, and so it's just very, very draining because they're essentially kind of delivering a lecture, and if you've got, you know, a 6-period day or a 5-period day, that's talking in a kind of monologue for a number of hours. And then, you know, other things that came up were obviously also, you know, kind of like the fact that some students won't be accessing IT or remote learning, and so sort of trying to also find ways to deliver education to them, and also sort of picking up on concerns about students' mental health, but feeling maybe unable to flag that in the way that you would be able to in school.
Did someone compare it to an amateur theatre rehearsal?
Yeah.
I mean, I find the idea of doing amateur theatre terrifying enough. So like that was enough for me to think that sounds really stressful. And you can picture it, can't you, actually? Because there will be that adrenaline carrying you through. But if you're faced with, like, I don't know, 24 blank faces all muted on Zoom, you sort of think, I've got no idea how this is landing. It's just it must be a completely different experience teaching.
Sounds like your worst ever lesson on repeat.
Yeah, exactly.
Days on end.
Yeah,
that's something to cheer teachers up.
That sounds really hard.
And finally, quite an interesting story this week, where a presenter on the BBC for an online learning clip made a reference to physics teachers that didn't go down very well, implying that they smelt of cabbage. Amy, what was the reaction to that? What happened?
Yeah, didn't go down very well, I think perhaps it's slightly an understatement. So the clip was shared, and at the time, scientist Dr. Adam Rutherford, he said it was shameful, embarrassing and anti-educational, pretty strong words. And then we had science teacher Bill Wilkinson, he replied saying that this was throwing around casual, dangerous stereotypes. And also a couple of others responded saying things like, it was a lame attempt to be funny and down with the kids, just like a really bad teacher. So not a particularly happy response to that one, as you might imagine. And I think it's one of those things that once it finds its way onto social media, it does tend to snowball. And we had an awful lot of people saying, you know, that they weren't pleased with what had been said.
Don't mess with teachers.
Indeed. Although we did have one person come back and say, "Oh, light enough, it's just a playful reflection of the old stereotype." So, you know, it wasn't all bad.
it's definitely definitely sort of didn't go down that well as an off the cuff remark, but the freshness fought back. Well, I think we've probably rambled on long enough. Have a very good weekend and see you all next week.